Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go aboard.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour supersonic Soul Train line. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Chicago to Sheboygan, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air. And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts—better parts, better prices every day.
But they listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
Big show for you coming up this morning. We'll talk about some of the wild stories of the first, not quite half of the baseball season, but this portion of the baseball season. Because now with the NBA Finals over, all attention on the MLB. Our friend Brian Kenny from MLB Network is going to join us in the final hour of the program, as will former pass-rushing Tasmanian Devil Jared Allen. We'll get his thoughts on the upcoming NFL season and some cool stuff going into the summer. Jared Allen, I was actually around in Kansas City when he was drafted as a rookie. I was working there and covering the Chiefs and in that locker room a bunch, and there was no player I have ever covered that had more fun, that took advantage of the NFL lifestyle quite like Jared Allen as a first-day rookie. I mean, and the guy could do it because he was very effective as a pass rusher, but I said, damn, he was Gronk before Gronk. Now, he didn't win championships, so he didn't have the attention Gronk did. He didn't play on a team that was one of the most visible in the entire league, obviously. He wasn't an explosive tight end, so he wasn't scoring a ton of touchdowns and getting a lot of fantasy points for people. But Jared Allen, with his calf roping, sack dancing, was Gronk before Gronk, having a really good time. So I'm excited to have him on the show again. As always, you guys, hit me up on the phones if you got anything as we now enter the NBA's off season. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You can always connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. And I'm sure you're watching the show as well. Remember that that's mobile friendly. You can watch it from wherever you are on whatever device by going to watchda.com. The day after the NBA Finals, the day after the Warriors win for the second time in 3 years, the day after has now become what happens in the next NBA. And I say the next NBA because now, after watching the Warriors torch everybody in the entire NBA and only lose once en route to a championship, and everybody is going to stay intact, and nobody is all that old on that team, at least from the nucleus standpoint, the NBA braces itself. Is there going to be a team that in the next couple of months retools, revamps, and says we are going to be good enough to take down the Warriors? Will that even be a reality? Can anybody be good enough to take down the Warriors? Obviously, the best possibility would be the Cavs, because Cleveland on the other side was so dominant in the Eastern Conference and still has the best player on the planet. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Kevin Durant had a better, had a unbelievable series on a better team, but that doesn't make him a better player than LeBron James. But with LeBron there, the Cavaliers still looked woefully short of the dubs. And Ben Golliver from Sports Illustrated SI.com penned an interesting piece this morning, suggesting that there is a way for the Cavaliers to retool, to get better, and to add a significant piece to match up with this Warriors team. And that's despite the Cavs not really having a very good roster to do anything, because they don't have draft picks. They've traded away a bunch of their first-round draft picks for other stuff. And then also that they don't have any young pieces that other teams would be interested in. It's a relatively old team. There is one way, Golliver writes, that this Cavs team can pull even, perhaps, with Kevin Durant's Warriors. Kevin Love for Paul George. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Do you want to stay in Indiana? And how do you proceed at this point? Does the All-NBA situation will that have an impact on what you do?
I ain't even at that point yet, Bob. Next question. You know, it's real frustrating to continue on losing, to the same team or same person. It's real frustrating. You know, it's what I work hard for in the summers, to try to help lead a team of my own, and ultimately this is who I'm going to always have to see and face. But again, came up short.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That was Paul George following another early playoff exit, and everybody is wondering if Paul George is just going to sign somewhere else as a free agent next summer, why wouldn't the Pacers trade him now to get something back for him? Golliver writes, quote, "A trade built around Love for George looks like a win-win-win. While George is the superior player, Love carries no flight risk. He's under contract until 2019. Pairing Love with young center Miles Turner would give Indiana a modern, versatile front line to build around. Moving George for Love would qualify as a retooling effort, allowing the Pacers to remain in the mix in the East rather than sliding back in the lottery. Plus, Larry Bird's successor, Kevin Pritchard, said last month he doesn't believe in tearing it down. Kevin Love would give the Pacers a proven all-star in his prime to market and build around." So here's the thing. Paul George to the Cavaliers, the Cavs would do that in a heartbeat. And not because Kevin Love has not lived up to his end of the bargain, not because Kevin Love is a disaster, because Kevin Love was a crucial part of the championship last year, and Kevin Love certainly played well this year in the playoffs, and he was most comfortable in year three with his roles as a rebounder, as a shooter, as a third scoring option than he ever was in the first two seasons. So Kevin Love, this is not about the Cavs wanting to trade Love because he hasn't paid dividends. It's about he's really the only movable commodity. He's the only guy anybody would want out there because you're not going to move, obviously, LeBron or Kyrie. And so the rest of your team, nobody wants Tristan Thompson with that cap number. Nobody wants Iman Shumpert or J.R. Smith. Darren Williams and Kyle Korver are just very small pieces of a puzzle. You don't have draft picks to trade. You don't have a ton of cap space. What do? So Kevin Love becomes the obvious thing that you would move. So from that standpoint, yeah, it makes sense to use him as the chip. And getting Paul George back, look, Paul George could be a defensive stopper. Paul George is an excellent defensive player. And if George could handle those primary defensive responsibilities, allowing LeBron and Kyrie to then drop back a peg in what they've got to do defensively, it's a great, great fit. The Cavs would love it. Absolutely love getting that thing done. And, you know, what Kevin Love brings to the table, you can get cheaper. Paul George, you can't get cheaper. He's a superstar. Kevin Love's rebounding, well, you should get it from Tristan Thompson, but you can get it cheaper. Kevin Love's three-point shooting, again, you can get it cheaper. So you can supplement that roster if you get Paul George in. My question is, if you swap Love out for George, are you better? Are the Cavs meaningfully better? Defensively, they're better, and that is something that I talked about yesterday's show, that the Cavs had to be more committed. They had to be more disciplined on the defensive side if they were going to beat the Warriors, and they just weren't. So getting George in there would help do that. But you swap out Love for George, you don't have four superstars. You're still at three. Here's the rub, though. I don't think the Pacers do that. I don't think that's enough of a haul for the Pacers to move Paul George, because everybody in the league is going to be snapping at trying to get Paul George. Is Kevin Love coming back for the Pacers without significant draft picks or other young players going to be enough for the Pacers to pull that trigger? I don't think so. It's not terrible, because Kevin Love's a good player. But again, if the Pacers are looking to remain competitive but also start adding to their roster, bringing back Kevin Love is just not enough. So that's why I don't think it's going to happen. That's why I don't think it would happen. But it's interesting to talk about. It's interesting to think about, because a Cavs team with Paul George looks different than this series. I think the series looks different against the Warriors. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Here's another interesting point. Paul George could say yes to that deal. You might say, well, what happens if Paul George wants to go to L.A.? He wants to go back home. Maybe he wants to join the Lakers with a young, rising team. Maybe he wants to go to the Clippers and be the face there. Maybe he wants to go somewhere on the West Coast. Paul George would not have to sign an extension if he got traded to the Cavs. They could bring him in for 1 year and say, okay, let's go all in. Because LeBron's contract is up too, remember, next summer. But do you also want to swap away Kevin Love if you've only got 1 year guaranteed of Paul George? When we come back here on the show, last night ESPN debuted the much-anticipated Celtics-Lakers 30 for 30. I will give you my review coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
She tripped while dancing. My pants fell down. I saw her down.
A match made in heaven, huh?
Now they'll make their first child as well.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later on to the show when we will answer that question. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you'll get better parts, better prices every day. They'll have the parts that you need to get the job done right, with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices, and the store's well-trained professionals standing by to help O'Reilly Auto Parts, to help O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Last night was odd. I don't know if anybody else felt that way. But ESPN had promoted their new 30 for 30 multi-part series, Celtics versus Lakers, and all about the Bird-Magic rivalry and all about those two dynasties that met head-to-head three times in the 80s, 84, 85, 87, although it felt like they met much more than that. They only had actually three NBA finals against one another. So interestingly, Cavs and Warriors have already equaled how many times the Lakers and Celtics met in the Bird-Magic era. And it was promoted incessantly throughout the playoffs. I remember watching the first round of the playoffs in April, and they were promoting this in June. And I was like, man, I can't wait for that. I'm totally all in on that, but I got to wait till June? Man, it's tough. So it was finally unveiled last night, and it was going to be a two-night event, last night and then tonight. Why? Well, they were banking on huge buzz, huge ratings, huge NBA interest during the NBA Finals. And they were assuming, since we were going to get Cavs-Warriors, since everybody assumed we were going to get Cavs-Warriors, and the first installment went six, between those two teams. And last year's NBA Finals went seven. This year would definitely be a long series as well. So they were going to play this in between games five and game six. Oops! Because once that season was over, I don't know if anybody else felt this way last night, once the Warriors won, it kind of felt like, all right, basketball's done for a while. And so last night, it was like, boy, we're going to unveil this right after the NBA Finals instead of during the NBA Finals. Strategic misstep. Should have backed it up a little bit, like into last week. Because with the NBA Finals over, it lost something last night. So they debut it, and I'm like, okay, this is going to be cool. We get an hour and a half tonight, an hour and a half tomorrow night. That sounds good. I think it was 3 hours last night. 8 until 11. And then again tonight. I said, oh boy. This is a lot of Celtics-Lakers in one night. This is a lot of documentary in one night. And then I got to watch tomorrow night as well. It's time for your Mothership Critics Corner.
Good morning and welcome to the Critics Corner. Thank you, Willard.
So I'm all locked in last night. I'm like, all right, let's see. 30 for 30 usually is fantastic. The 30 for 30 series and brand has always been really, really well done. Last year's O.J. Simpson multi-part series was up for huge awards. I mean, one of the best movie documentary series I've ever seen in anything, let alone sports. It was a game changer, and the entire nation was talking about it. So I think ESPN wanted to kind of build off that. Okay, now we got multi-part series. We're getting awards for these things. Last night wasn't even close. Not even close to the O.J. series. And which was weird because when I first saw the trailers and I heard about it, this story has been told many times before. I mean, Magic versus Bird was an HBO documentary. We all know the background between these two teams. They're talked about incessantly. And that, I assumed, was going to be really good. A really, really cool part of this. And then when I got into it, I said, you know what? That actually detracts from this because I know everything that's going to happen. There's no part of this they're mining that I haven't heard about before. And there was a couple of other pieces of it that I really thought fell short. Number one, I don't know if anybody else felt this way. Boy, do they beat you over the head with the race card like a sledgehammer. Bird is white, Magic's black. The Celtics are what all the white people like. The Showtime Lakers with their flash and pizzazz is what all the black people like. And God, did they just hammer that? They start out with poor race relations in Boston. They start out with the Bill Russell thing. They start out with this whole tapestry of racism, racism, racism. And I'm going, yeah, okay, this is a part of this, no doubt about it. It's a part of it. It's not, at least to me, the overwhelming background of it. And I know it was a part of the bloodline of this. I know it was part of the interest and the intrigue, but they acted like it was the most important part of it. And I'm not saying it wasn't part of it. I'm just saying, God, did they kill you with it last night? And frankly, it felt like they were trying to cut the same vein that the O.J. thing did. And the O.J. thing was so different. And it was like they realized, you know, because race today in America is the easiest way to sensationalize or to titillate or to get people really upset really easily. It's rarely done with nuance. It's rarely done with thought and compassion. It's almost always done as I'm going to get you angry because I want to get emotions high because then people will pay attention. I said, that's a cheap ploy in this. It just felt like they realized, oh, this did really well with the O.J. thing. Let's bake it into this too. Okay, that was the first thing. Second thing was, again, you know, they didn't uncover anything that I don't think anybody else knew. We know Magic versus Bird goes back to their college days. We know Magic was effervescent and he was Showtime and he was Saul Smiles. We know that Bird was to himself, and we know that he was a workaholic, and we knew all of the other protagonists in this. I mean, everybody knows McCall and Bird and Parrish, and everybody knows Worthy and Kareem, and I just felt like I kept seeing the same highlights I've seen forever over and over again in this. And I'm like, boy, if you're going to tell this story, give me something that people haven't told before. I thought one nugget last night that stood out, which I had never heard, was that Magic, maybe people didn't realize that Magic had gotten his first coach fired, but I think most people did. One thing that I liked that they touched on was that Magic was resented early by players of the NBA because in the 70s, the NBA was seen as a cool league. Like, you got to be cool to play. Like, don't be too emotional. Don't put your heart into it. Don't wear your heart in your sleeve because that's not cool. You know, like when you're a freshman in high school and you see the seniors are like cool. Like everything's not a big deal. But that Magic came and he was smiling and he was hugging and he was, you know, hamming it up and kind of everything meant a lot to him. And they're like, man, you're acting corny. Stop acting corny like that. And Magic made it okay to show your emotion. I thought, okay, that was cool to hear, but most of it just felt, and this was something that they couldn't really help, but most of it felt like it was just reruns of other documentary films about it. It just felt like this was just a longer version of everything else we've ever seen about Lakers Celtics. And part of that is the NBA didn't have an NFL Films stockade of footage. So it's the same footage from the same camera angle that we've seen time and time and time and time again. And when you build this into a two-night affair and multiple hours of this, I'm sorry, I'm watching the 79 championship game between them in college. Then we get to the 80 finals. Then we get to the 81 finals. Then we're into the 82 finals. Then the 83 finals. And they still haven't played one another yet. And I'm like, I've been at this for 2 hours and we haven't even gotten to the 84 finals. We're only in 83. I got the rest of the 80s to go. How long is this thing? And on top of it, I don't know if anybody else felt this way. I thought both narrators were really annoying. They had, I think it was Donnie Wahlberg for the Celtics. It was one of the Wahlbergs. I always get them mixed up. It was Donnie.
No, it was Marky Mark.
It was Marky Mark.
Yeah.
And then it was Ice Cube for the Lakers side. And I'm like, God, this is such a caricature. It's like I got Cube, like he's narrating It's a Good Day. It was a good day video. And then I got Marky Mark narrating it like it's a Wahlburgers episode. You know, and I'm like, this is just distracting. It's distracting to have Wahlberg doing the Boston Garden thing. It's annoying to have Ice Cube narrating this like it's the NWA documentary. The whole thing is just... it's distracting. Like, the narrators need to... A narrator in a great sports documentary film is like a great play-by-play guy. Get in, get out, get out of the way. Tell the action, then let the story tell itself. Like, Summerall was great. Summerall is the perfect narrator. He did a lot of NFL films narration. He's perfect. Perfect for it. He's not gonna oversell it. I just felt like Mackie Mack and the Garden and Cube, this was Cube and LA. And I'm like, I can't get them out of my mind. And so I couldn't separate them from the actual film. So I don't know. The content of it is obviously rich. It's an incredible story. It's an incredible time in history. Undoubtedly, Bird and Magic saved the NBA and turned the NBA into what we know now. But I thought the 30 for 30 last night really fell short. And I never want to bail early on a 30 for 30 ever because I'm always, always locked in. I mean, so many of them have been awesome. By the end of that, I was like, oh, this is tedious. This is moving too slow. This is too tedious. And I'm not learning anything new. So overall, the Gene Shalit, D.A., Siskel and Ebert, I would say one out of two thumbs. What do they do? Two thumbs up? I would say one out of two. Out of 10, like a Rotten Tomatoes, I would give it like maybe a 5.6, something like that. It's fine. You're going to have to kill time watching sports at some point this summer, so that's when you can watch it. It just was not appointment television programming like I thought it was going to be for me. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, a little sound check, your best audio of the day, including Odell Beckham on why he hasn't been at OTAs. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Good morning, DA. You know what, my friend? I love you to death, because if there's one thing that I've learned from listening to you, is you stick to it.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, remember, you can always stream the show on your phone. Listen wherever you go, no matter if your affiliate has us on or if you're outside of your normal listening area. And it's always free. Download the CBS Sports app, the TuneIn app, the radio.com app, or Apple Music. Jeff in Detroit tweets, DA, being 59 and from Detroit, I enjoyed the drama and great b-ball of the Celtics and Lakers, but I never thought of race. It was just a great matchup. They taught the Pistons well. Yeah, I mean, last night's 30 for 30, I thought, focused and made the race thing the most important thing, which I just don't know if that's a fair way to have told that story. It felt like a cheap ploy to get attention. Now, I think it was part of it. Certainly some of the players in it were talking about it, so it affected them that way. But, like, I'm a white kid from the sticks, and I loved Showtime. And they made it so black and white, pardon the pun, that if you were black, you liked the Lakers. If you were white, you rooted for the Celtics. One of my first basketball jerseys was Magic. A yellow Lakers Magic jersey that I absolutely loved. Because when you're 10 or 11 years old, what do you love? The guy that looks like he's having fun. The guy that's making it look exciting. No-look passes, bounce passes. All these incredible highlights. I mean, I don't know. I just thought they oversimplified the whole thing, and I was disappointed largely with the 30 for 30 last night, and I went into it thinking I was going to absolutely love it. Joe tweets, DA, Ice Cube and Today Was a Good Day was a song me and my fellas listened to every day. Quit knocking it. Oh, I'm not knocking the song at all. I love that song as well. Just saying, Ice Cube as a narrator last night was distracting. Like, Billie Jean by Michael Jackson's one of my favorite songs of all time, but I don't need him narrating a 30 for 30. I mean, if Michael Jackson did when he was alive, I'd be like, this is kind of distracting. Like, Michael's narrating this 30 for 30. I kind of can't quit thinking about Michael Jackson and Billie Jean, which is what I'm talking about. Like, every time I heard Ice Cube narrate, I'm like, am I watching Are We There Yet? Is this director's cut for Are We There Yet? Is that his movie in the RV? Yeah, right?
Yes.
You know all those crappy movies, Mraz.
Yes, of course. Are We There Yet was excellent. There was another good one he was in, too. I forget. Well, All the Fridays, right?
Well, yes, All the Fridays, specifically one. Great. Okay, let's get to your best audio of the day. It's time for sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Odell Beckham discussing why he wasn't at OTAs, and then the reports of him being upset with his contract.
I was just taking the time to you know, train, make sure I get proper training in. You know, really grow and mature in yourself, and you just have time to be able to reflect on life and to be able to learn new things. You know, I leave that in the hands of the man above, honestly. When that time comes, that time comes. Right now, it's really not the time to discuss it. You know, it's just kind of, like I said, when it comes, it'll come.
Holy crap, is that the dumbest answer ever? Wow, is that stupid. So, Odell Beckham missed workout to the Giants so that he could get a good workout in. And wanted to stay away from the Giants for a week so that he could think about life and he could get some space. Is that? Can we hear that again? I'd like to hear Odell Beckham again explaining why he missed OTAs, which, by the way, are they over now for the Giants? What's going on?
OTAs are over, but now mandatory minicamp has started, so he had to come to minicamp or it would be a holdout. So he arrived yesterday for that.
Okay, so he missed the quote-unquote voluntary week of practices, and now he's in for the mandatory practices.
Yes.
Okay, and the reason why he missed that week was?
I was just taking the time to train, make sure I get proper training in, you know, really grow and mature in yourself. And you just have time to be able to reflect on life.
Okay,
and to be able to-
stop. Okay, so number one, you can't get good training with the official Giants NFL training staff. That's not where you get your training in. You'd rather run around a gym in L.A. with Chris Carter. That's much better training. It's much better training to be throwing passes to Johnny Manziel or getting passes from Johnny Manziel. That's better training than when you're with your officially licensed training regimen with the New York Giants. He used that time to mature. So like 5 days and he went from one Odell Beckham to the next Odell Beckham. You know, between Monday and Thursday, I learned a lot about myself. Now I'm totally ready to come in. I mean, what can you even say to that stupidity? What can you even say? Is it that big a deal to be at OTAs? No. Tiki is in here and he'll tell you every single day he never took a snap at OTAs. He was like, yeah, I'm here, but I'm not going to actually play. But that's all that really matters is actually being here so that it doesn't look like you're holding out or being anti-team or anti-franchise or anti-coaching or anti-anything. You just got to be around. So the lesson, Odell Beckham, is this the worst thing any player could ever commit as a crime? No, it's not. I mean, people comparing this to some, you know, huge saga soap opera it's overboard. But Odell Beckham can simply take the attention off of himself by being around and saying, yeah, I got to tweak Tammy. Yeah, we don't want to risk it right now. And you don't have to do anything. Not a thing. But what does Odell Beckham decide to do? Makes a show out of it. So Odell Beckham is not going to be around. Odell Beckham is not going to talk to anybody. Odell Beckham is then going to show up and do dopey training with a brick with Chris Carter and, like, you know, the Fox Sports 1 studios. And then he's going to start throwing out pictures with him with Johnny Manziel. And then the report about him being unhappy with his contract. And then he's going to come back and say, no, you guys had that all wrong. Man, first of all, the season ended for you guys in early January. Okay, we remember that. That's the first playoff game, the first playoff weekend. You had from then until early June to, quote-unquote, mature and train the way you want to train. You had all of that time. But you decided the 1 week where all eyes were on you, you were going to not be there. Why? You wanted to draw attention to yourself. You could have done everything you did that week before that week in total anonymity, in total silence. But you did it that week because you knew it drew attention. So come on, like all these other answers, it's just BS. Is he a terrible human being? Absolutely not. Do I think it even matters with his football? No. Whether he was at 5 days of OTAs or not is not going to affect him football-wise. But it affects the attention that you get and the negativity. And if you want that attention, fine. But don't sit there and then lie about why you were doing it. You wanted to get proper training away from the team. And you needed to mature as an adult. Just stop. Andrew Luck, unsure of when he's going to be able to throw with the team again. He had shoulder surgery in January.
With this rehab, with my shoulder, I can't look 5 months down the road, 3 months, 2 months, a week down the road. To me, it's about the next rehab session, the next day. And that's where my focus is. And that's where I think it needs to be for me to truly, you know, get back to 100%.
It was weird when we heard in mid-January that Andrew Luck had the shoulder surgery. I don't know if he had it immediately after the season or if they waited a little bit. But if we go back to then, the reports were he's likely to miss everything up until training camp starts in late July. But we've got more than a month to go. If at this point next month he's not close to being ready, and then we're getting into training camp and he's not playing and he's not taking snaps, then it's a concern. I hope Andrew Luck is healthy, because Andrew Luck, when healthy, is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And I'd hate to see him and his career derailed because dopey Ryan Grigson had a terrible offensive line for his formative years and made him a pinata for so many seasons that he was never able to recover. I hope this is not one of those careers where terrible offensive line sunk a quarterback early and now he's never going to be healthy. But until I see him missing a chunk of training camp, I'm not going to freak out about Andrew Luck. And finally, De'Aaron Fox. I saw a story yesterday that maybe De'Aaron Fox will be the number one pick overall in the NBA draft. Talks about the fact that he outplayed Lonzo Ball in that classic Kentucky-UCLA game of the NCAA tournament, but that it shouldn't have an effect on his draft stock.
It doesn't matter. It's, like I said, it's college. You know, we put that behind us. You know, the number one pick, I mean, Kyrie was number one pick. Isaiah Thomas was the last pick. So, and you see how that really worked out. They're both doing what they're both playing, you know, extremely high level of basketball. So that doesn't really matter. College doesn't matter at this point.
Sounds like a smart kid. De'Aaron Fox, I think, has a world of talent. I worry about Fox's slender build. I worry about him as a toothpick going through the lane and withstanding the rigors of the NBA, even though this is not the NBA of 20 years ago, so it's much easier to do that. But look, I think Fox can be very good. I think it's going to be Markelle Fultz at number one and Lonzo Ball two, and any other kind of storylines or stories that pop up around that are just smoke screens. I think that's going to be 1-2, and then the draft kind of starts at 3. And that is your sound check. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, on Twitter, DA on CBS. It's a bye week in the Long Island Flag Football League for the Young Guns after winning that emotional game 24-6 over the Small Blocks and Mr. Six on Sunday morning. It's now a very rare bye week in the middle of the playoffs. Doesn't usually happen this way. Usually it's before the Super Bowl, but this is what's interesting about this. Somehow, Merez, your side of the division or your side of the league played its playoff games a week early, and now the other side is catching up a week later?
Our side only had 8 teams in our divisional year, so we had 4 teams make the playoffs. The other side had 12 teams in their division, so they had 6 teams make the playoffs. So they had to go through an extra round of like a wild card, pre-wild card.
So it's an imbalanced league breakdown, kind of like the NHL's Eastern and Western Conference.
Exactly.
Okay. Number two, what's hysterical about the Long Island Flag Football League is we obviously covered the league within 1.5 hours of Facebook Live better than anything the league has ever done covering their own teams, because while we caught every play of an entire game and posted it on Facebook Live, the league told you guys you were playing a different team that actually won. ACA Contractors, as you've talked about, are the only undefeated team in the Long Island Flag Football League, right?
In Suffolk County. There's another team in Nassau County that's undefeated as well.
The Gorps?
The NARPs.
The NARPs, okay.
Not sure what a Gorp is.
So, well, what's a NARP?
Who knows?
Okay, so the ACA Contractors were the only undefeated team, and you guys felt like that was your toughest roadblock going to a championship. Once you guys got through Mr. Six, it felt like, okay, we've now got ACA Contractors, then that's our last kind of hurdle.
Especially because we lost them on Easter Eve, you know, weekend where traditionally the teams wear throwbacks and everything like that.
Yeah, right. And, and so the league told you ACA Contractors had lost in a stunning upset, and you guys breathe a sigh of relief. Oh my God, our biggest rival or potential roadblock out of our ways lost in a monumental upset. That would have been a huge upset, right?
Yeah, we had heard they lost to Dead Rabbits, and it turns out that was
wrong. Dead Rabbits kind of like Gangs of New York, huh?
Yes, yes.
And I could just imagine Leo DiCaprio carrying some stick down towards Half Hollows East High School with the bagpipes playing, the Dead Rabbits are coming. So, and then the league gets back to you, what, days later? And they're like, oops,
24 hours later when they mailed out the schedule and we saw ACA Contracting on it versus, bad habits for that championship game.
How did they mistake one team lose? Like, that would be the biggest upset.
Because when the refs call in the scores to the office, the ref called in the proper score, wrong team on the winning or losing end. And then I guess somebody, when they let the teams know or let the other team know congrats on advancing, they said, what are you talking about? We lost to ASA contracting. Miscommunication.
This is awesome. This is like the NFL draft of the 1950s. Nobody's seen any of the players. And it's like they're just going on newspaper clippings or a coach that might have coached one of the kids and like calls up and is like from a payphone. It's like the Gil Brandt story in the Super Bowl. Gil Brandt during the 1962 NFL draft is calling from a payphone. Oh, yeah, I actually saw that guy in person at Western Texas A&M. Yeah, no, I like that guy. Nobody has any information on anything.
No archives.
No, that's great. That is great. When we come back, Julian Edelman doesn't realize he's on a super team. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.